I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You know, when we run a marathon, we need to go through some kind of strict discipline. We can control our whole body according to our mind, so we can march towards a goal. And in the spiritual journey, in the journey of servitude, not because we work a lot for God, then automatically we can be saved. It's good to serve God and work for God, but eventually, whether we can complete the journey and receive the crown, all depends on whether we control the evil desire inside our body, or we let the body control us. If we let the body control us, we cannot complete the journey. So even we have done a lot of work, if we let the body control us, we will be disqualified. Because we don't play the game by rule. And the rule is you have to bring your desire, lust, into subjection. So this is a very difficult part. Even Paul knew that we have to discipline our body. So this is athlete. Serving God is being like an athlete. Okay, any question before we go into the next topic? Anything for discussion, question? If we have a goal, a very meaningful goal, then our life becomes very meaningful, because we know every day we are doing something to achieve that goal. And that goal has eternal value, which means every day we do something for that eternal value. Just like you earn a lot of money, you start to save the money into your retirement account, right? When your retirement day reach, you have a lot of money to use. But our final retirement is in heaven. And when we serve God, we accumulate the invisible glory, invisible richness in heaven. Right? One day we finish our journey on the earth, we are going to race in the heavenly kingdom, and we are going to receive the retirement account in heaven. So when we think about that, every day we serve God, is there meaning there? Our life becomes very positive, because that will last forever. Now we go into the next parable, earthen vessel. What is servitude? Servitude means to be used by God as a vessel. As an earthen vessel, that means servitude. It is not we who use God, it is God who use us. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power made of God, and not of us. Maybe of God and not of us. Okay. So here he's talking about we are the earthen vessel, and the treasure is inside the vessel. And what does the treasure mean? The treasure can mean the truth. And also, it would refer to the first paragraph. The treasure can mean the apostleship. Verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we have not lose heart. We have this ministry means God chose Paul to become an apostle. So he, because of his apostleship, he was able to serve God, to preach the gospel. Right? So this is to him is a treasure. And the treasure inside the earthen vessel. So to serve God means that the treasure inside the earthen vessel manifest the tremendous power of God. Now, let's focus on earthen vessel. The tremendous power of God is come from God, but we earthen vessel, we have to realize we are the earthen vessel. So what does the earthen vessel means? So we look into the first question. How to have the self-awareness of a vessel? Let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 64. Verse 8. Can anybody read it? Isaiah 64, verse 8. We are the clay and you are the potter, right? So you, our father. Father means what? Origin. If there is no father, there is no son. So father is the origin of son, right? And God is the father, is the origin of human being. And who are we? We are the clay. And who is God? God is the potter. So we are the handwork of God. So we are created by God. So earthen vessel is a vessel being created by God himself. We are created by God. This is the first awareness. We are not self-existence. We are created by God, according to the Bible. So what does it mean? What does it imply? We are created by God. First one. We are created by God with a purpose. God will never do anything without purpose. A lot of time we don't know the purpose. It's because we are not God, we don't know it. Not because it has no purpose. If we look at everything surrounding us, right? There's a bell, the bell can ring. There's a microphone, the microphone can amplify the voice. And there's a computer you can use to type. Everything been created with a purpose. How about you and me? We are all created by God. For what purpose? And that purpose has general purpose, has specific purpose. God's purpose of general creation. What is the general purpose of God's creation? For His glory. To manifest His glory. So we are the earthen vessel. God created vessel for a purpose to manifest His glory. God is invisible, but God created the universe to show His greatness. Right? So you look into a human body, it's very profound, right? You know the insulin, right? If your insulin is in short of the insulin, you become diabetes, right? And every part of the body is very profound. And this is the way God manifests His glory. In another way, is God creates a human being with the image of God. So people can reflect the glory of God because we can reflect the image of God. But after human being sin control us. So we cannot reflect the image of God. So inside us, there is no glory of God. So Book of Romans say, we all sin, come short of what? The glory of God. So since God created the purpose to manifest His glory, so we have to recreate the image of God to glorify Him. How can we recreate the image of God? Through the salvation of Jesus Christ. First, we get rid of sin. The second, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we transform our sinful nature. We become a partaker of the divine nature. The third, our life can be sanctified through the power of the Holy Spirit, so gradually we can manifest the image of God. So in our life, we were able to live a life to glorify the name of God. So we are created by God with a purpose to manifest His glory, to transform ourselves to manifest God's glory. So how do we judge whether the purpose person's life is meaningful or not? A very simple way. If we can live a life to glorify the name of God, our life is meaningful. If our life cannot glorify the name of God, then our life is meaningless. So we cannot find the meaning of our life outside God. If we want to find the meaning of life, we can only find it in God, because we are created by Him. But right now the problem is human beings try to ignore God. Once we ignore God, we can never answer a question. What is the question? What is the purpose of my life? Right? What is the purpose of my life? You know, when a rich man earns a lot of money, outwardly they are very rich, but inside their heart is very empty. How come very empty? Because money cannot fulfill the heart. And what can fulfill the heart, right? When we do everything for the glory of God, we feel our life is very meaningful. When we do everything for the glory of God, and God is very pleased, and God abides in us, and that is the fulfillment of our heart. Every day we are very joyful. Why? Because God abides in me. How come God abides in us? Because I try to do everything for to glorify His name. Right? So this is the first purpose. We created with a purpose, general purpose, to glorify His name. And the second is, God created every individual with specific purpose. Right? God chose Paul to become the apostle of what? Gentile. God chose Peter to become the apostle of the Jews. So they were created, they were selected, they were disciplined for different purpose. In the church, some God created for the purpose, right? To become a full-time minister. And some God created with the purpose to serve in the local church. So we have to understand what is the God's purpose for me to do in the church, in the life. So that means being a vessel. We are created with a purpose. If we don't know our purpose, God created me for any specific purpose, then we have to pray, ask God to let us know it. So this is the first awareness. God created everything with a purpose. The second, we are created by God means what? God has authority over us, which means that God reign over us, because He is the Creator, right? We are created by Him. Since we are created by Him, we are owned by God, right? We are owned by God because we are created by Him. The Creator has the ownership of whatever He has created. So the whole world belongs to whom? Belong to God, including you and me. So we are the vessel, earthen vessel, means what? The Creator has authority over me. He owns me. So what does that mean? You know, a lot of times when we live our life in the world, who is our master? Before we know Jesus, who is our master? A lot of time we are our own master, right? We don't worship God. Who is God? I myself is God. I take over the role of God. Let's see the book of James. Do you have life planning, long-term planning of your life? Does any one of you have long-term plan of your life? Next 5 years or next 1 year, what I'm going to do? Do you have that kind of plan? Yes, right. Now let's look into James chapter 5 and compare our planning. Is there any difference with this planning, this person's planning? And James chapter 5, chapter 4. Verse 13. Next one, we'll read it. Okay. Look, this businessman is very good in planning, very smart, right? He planned to move to a certain city and exactly to stay 1 year. And what is he going to do? He's going to do the business and earn the money, right? But our plan is what? I'm going to move to a certain city and study in which school for 3 years, right? And get a degree, the same thing, all right? I'm going to get a job in which city? My dream job is what? Being a doctor, being an engineer, being this, right? I'm going to stay in that company for how many years to earn the money? And then, financially, I'm capable, I'm starting to get married, right? Everybody has different kind of planning, right? But what's wrong with the planning? You look into the conclusion, right? Verse 16, anybody read it? Next one. Oh, you see, in the eyes of God, this is a boasting. In the eyes of God, this is evil. Oh, and how can planning become evil and become boasting? Right? So every time we think about our plan, my own future, but in the eyes of God, it's evil, it's boasting. So why you come to that kind of conclusion? You look into verse 14. Next one. And 15. And 15.
Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and that.
Okay. The crucial point is this businessman doing the planning as the one who can control his own life. This businessman doing the planning. He treat himself as the boss of his own life. And that's something wrong. Right? Why? Because, first one, whether tomorrow I can be alive or not is not my control. Whether I can go to a certain city to make money or not is not my own control. I can plan it, but it's not my own control. Who is in control? It's God in control. So we should say, if it is God's will, I can be alive. If it is God's will, I can do this and do that. When we think about if it is God's will, means we honor God as our master. We give up our own authority to God himself. So this is the second awareness. Oh, if we know we are a vessel, God created us. We have recognized I own by God. So whatever I plan myself, I have to pray to God. God, if it is your will, please guide me. If it is not your will, please let me your will. So be flexible and leave room for God to change our plan. So our own plan is not final. It's not final. Why? You have a boss. You have the owner, which is God. If we respect him to change our plan, then we really honor God as a creator. So the awareness of being a vessel means we have to honor his authority. So if we look into the servitude, Saul was anointed as a king, right? It was a great honor to be anointed as a king. But after God let Saul become a king, not long, God was displeased. Why? Because God asked Saul to kill all the Amalekites, right? And what did Saul do? He purposely reserved some of the good animal, right? And he did not kill the king. And he used a personal preference to substitute God's will, and that's what God don't like. So when we do the servitude, we know we are servant and God is a master. So the most important thing is not what is my will. The most important thing is what is God's will. The most important thing is not what I want to do for God. The most important thing, God, is what God want me to do for him. Right? So in the conversion of Paul, he asked two questions. The first question is, who are you? And the second question is what? What was the second question? Right after who are you, what was the second question? On the conversion of Paul. When he was enlightened on the way to Damascus, he became blind. What shall I do for you? Right? He asked God, what shall you want me to do for you? Right? A lot of times we never ask God. We only have an idea, we have only a plan for the church. Then we play the role of being a master. Right? Yes, we can have planning, but after we plan, we have to think about, we have to pray. God, is that what you want me to do? Right? So sometimes a lot of people who are very jealous in the church, but they cannot come to the one I call. Because what? Everybody have their own idea. Everybody have their own plan. And this plan is different from other people's plan. So there's a conflict, and there's an argument, and there's a disharmony. But if we change our role, everybody ask, Lord, what do you want us to do for your church? If we change the attitude, then you can see a lot of people who are very dedicated, they can walk together. Why? Because right now, they all honor God as their own master. So when the church is in disharmony, not because people don't love God. A lot of times, it's because people love God. If they don't love God, they just don't care about the church. Right after the service, they just leave. I don't care. Right? Because they care too much, there's a reason the church cannot be in one accord. And how come they care too much? The church cannot be one mind, one accord. Because they fail to understand they are only but a vessel. And God is the one who should be honored as the owner, as a master, as a boss. Oh, so this is the first understanding. We are created with a purpose. And we are created so God has the authority over us. Oh, this is first awareness. How about the second awareness? Now, we look into First Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Next one.
Then a great house are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the matter, he will be a vessel of honor, some for honor, and
okay, in a rich man's house, there are vessels made out of different kind of material. Some are gold, some are silver, some are wood, some are clay. Right? And which one is more noble? Of course, our human standard is gold is most noble one, more expensive, honorable. Silver is next one. The least honorable is what? Clay, because everywhere there is a clay. So in the eyes of God, nowadays, some people consider you have good education, you are very capable, you are very rich, right? You are very handsome, then you are considered what? Like a gold, very honorable vessel. Because you are very well educated, you are very capable. You are not so educated, you are not so capable, you are not so good outlooking, then you become secondary. And this society judges people in this way, right? But when we come to the house of God, God judges whether we are noble or not based on that outer appearance, outer condition. How did God judge us? How will God judge us to become a very noble vessel? Verse 21. Right. If we depart from the unnoble deeds, and we separate ourselves, keep ourselves holy, then we will become a noble vessel. So, in the eyes of God, what kind of watery, what kind of material you, what kind of condition you have in the watery standard is not important. In the eyes of God, if we are holy, we will be a noble vessel. Even we are very educated, even we are very capable, even we have a great achievement, if we are not holy in the eyes of God, we are useless. Oh, right. So we have this kind of self-awareness. As a human being, how can we live a holy life? So we become, in the eyes of God, we become a very noble vessel, ready to be used by God. And holiness in the Bible means what? What does holiness mean? Holiness means separation. If we are no different from the people in the world, that means we are conformed by the world. We become worldly people. Holiness means there is a separation, there is a difference between us and the world. That's called holiness. Oh. So the noble vessel must a person who think, who act, who is motivated, who behave differently from the people in the world. That kind of separation we call holiness. So one of the brothers, after he converted to Christ, he used to go to the renting the movie and watch a lot of movie. But after he converted to Christ, and he went to the movie renting shop, he spent about 30 minutes there. He cannot find any movie. It's not because there were no movie. Everywhere is movie, CD. But he cannot find a movie which is suitable for his status being the children of God. Because right now, a lot of movies are content with violence and sex, right? And the children of God, we cannot watch that, because that is different from the nature of God. If we watch that kind of movie, we defile ourselves, then we cannot become a noble vessel used by God, right? And other people get drunk during the week, the holiday season, right? But as a Christian, we should not get drunk, right? And drunk can refer to what? Entertainment. Even though we don't drink alcohol, but at other times we use too much entertainment. And a lot of entertainment actually is under sin. So being separated to be a holy vessel, a noble vessel, means we have to be different. Do not conform by the world, but have to be transformed by the renewal of our heart. So we are able to become a very useful and important vessel. So holiness right now is a really, really a very, very big challenge nowadays. You know the current Pope, right? Come from where? The Pope right now come from Argentina. In the whole world right now, about 7 countries legalized homosexual. About 7 countries. All the 7 countries, none of them are Muslim countries. Almost every of the 7 countries originally come from the country which Christian faith is predominantly the majority believe in Christianity. And one of the 7 countries is what? Argentina. Argentina have 80% of Catholic Church members. About 5 years ago, they gone through some kind of vote, and majority agreed to accept homosexual, legalize, it's fine. But 80% of them are Catholic. So what does that mean? As a Christian nowadays, we are conformed by the world, which means we are not holy at all. We have no separation. Even right now, the Pope, previously, Catholic Church had very, very clear stance about homosexuals. Homosexual is not good, it's not evil, it's evil, it's wrong. But right now, the Pope, people ask them, how do you think about homosexual? What was the answer? Who am I to judge? So he did not condemn homosexuality. He adopted a very neutral stance. So people interpret that, you know, in this kind of saying, that Catholic Church sooner or later probably will accept homosexuality because Pope stands change. So this is only one of many examples. Right now, the world has no Christian has no separation from the world. So being a noble people, we have different standard of our life, and which is God's standard. And sometimes it's very, very lonely. Very lonely. All your friends, they accept the social norm, but only you, you accept the Christian, the biblical principle, that a lot of time you feel so lonely. When you talk to them, they disagree. When you behave according to the Bible, they feel very strange. No. But that is the price we have to pay in order that we become a noble vessel, God. Right? So this is the second awareness. We have to be holy. So we can become a noble vessel. How about the next one? Let's think about when there was a widow, right? She owned a lot of money. And later on the debtor come to ask for payment. And this widow had nowhere to go and no means to repay the debt. And what did the widow do in the time of Elisha? Can you find it? Where does the Bible say? 1 Kings chapter 19. Elisha, not Elijah. Second King, chapter what? Which chapter? Second King, chapter 4, right? Chapter 4. First one, and next one, read it. Verse 2. Next one. The next one, verse 3.
And he said, go forward, pass into the neighbor, for all your neighbors, and be better to the valley of the tree.
Okay. So the widow come to seeking for help from Elijah. And Elijah asked, what do you have? What can I do for you? What do you have in your own home? And she replied, there's only a vase of oil. Other than that, I have nothing. And then verse 3, Elijah commanded her, you have to borrow the empty vessel, as many as possible. Right? Empty vessel, as many as possible. Right? And then what did Elijah instruct him to do? Next person, verse 4. Okay. Verse 5. 6.
Now it came to pass when the vessel was full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel for the oil of six.
Okay. Look. Elisha told her, right? Go back to home and close the door and pour the oil into the empty vessel. Right? And then, verse 5, the widow really followed the instruction of Elisha. Close the door and bring all the empty vessel and pour the oil into the empty vessel. And then until every vessel been filled up, and Elijah asked him, do you have any other vessel? The son said, no. The widow asked the son, and son said, no. When the son said, we don't have any empty vessel. What happened? The oil stopped. So if the woman borrow more, about double amount of the empty vessel, what is going to happen? The oil will continue to flow out. Right? So what does that mean? That oil coming out unceasingly, that means the blessing of God. Even though the widow was so poor, he has no money to repay the debt, but the widow had the blessing of God with her. Right? So in Psalm chapter 23, say, in Psalm chapter 23, say about what? My cup overflow. So what does it mean, my cup overflow? When God pour down the blessing to us, right? Just like if here is a cup, you keep on pouring the water into the cup. When the cup fill up the water, you continue to pour the water into the cup, it's going well. The water is going to overflow the table. You continue to pour the water is going to overflow the whole room. The same thing. In a family, if one person like an empty vessel, the blessing of God will come and will overflow the person and reach to the family member. In the church, the same. In the church, if you have only a few members really filled by the Holy Spirit, filled by the blessing of God, and the blessing of God will overflow to the old other church member. Oh. So what does that mean? Empty vessel. Borrow it as many as possible. Which means our heart should be empty so that the blessing of God, the power of God, and God Himself can fulfill our heart unceasingly. Also, we have to have a self-awareness. How can the power of God manifest through us? Even though we are the earthen vessel, we have to empty ourselves. Do you remember the first beatitude? The first beatitude: blessed are those who poor in spirit. And what will be the blessing? What is the first blessing? For the kingdom of God, it will be theirs, right? And the condition is they have to be poor in spirit. What the poor means? Poor means I have nothing. Poor means emptiness. So when we are waiting to empty ourselves, like we have nothing, and God will continue to bless us. God will continue to fill up Holy Spirit into our heart. But the problem is that nowadays it's very difficult to be in poor spirit, right? Why? Because our heart has been filled up with so many worldly stuff. In other words, our heart has been filled with so many junk food. Right? We eat too much junk food. And the junk food which has no nutrition. The junk food make a person become fat. Without true nutrition. When you become too fat, you cannot run. So spiritually, we eat too much junk food. So we don't feel hungry. We don't feel thirst because our heart are really filled up by the worldly stuff. Then Holy Spirit cannot fill upon us. Right? So that kind of emptiness in our heart will enable us to have a hunger and thirst after God Himself. Yeah. Also, to live a simple life is good for our spirituality. I don't know whether you have experience. If you have three cars, you have three problems. You have two cars, two problems. One car, one problem. Right? The same with a house. You have three houses, or you are a rich person, right? You become millionaire. But a lot of headache. This house has a roof leaking. Another house is a plumbing problem. Another house is the kitchen. Doesn't work. But when you fix the first house, finish, and the second house, continue to fix it. Three house, three problem, three headache. The more stuff you have, the more you have to spend time to do the maintenance. The more stuff you have, you have more time to what? Enjoy it. When you spend time enjoy it, when you spend time to do the maintenance, your heart already fulfilled. You have no heart reserved for Jesus Christ. Alright? So, it's good to live a simple life. Oh. So it's easier for you to a very what poor in spirit to long after God. Oh. So right now, you look into the smartphone, right? If I see a youth who has no smartphone, I really admire. Oh. How can you live a life without smartphone, right? Alright. And smartphone is good or bad? Smartphone is neutral. Right? It's a masterpiece of contemporary technology. One of the smartphones can contain everything. You don't need GPS anymore. You don't need a camera anymore. You don't need what? A music player anymore. You don't need a computer anymore. Right? You do everything. Now, but smartphone is a contemporary of cocaine, drug. Really? When you look into the airport, everybody bow down the head, not prayer. Looking at smartphone. Right? So when we come to the church, you bring the smartphone to the church. Of course, some people, they download the smartphone, the hymn book and Bible, and do the interpretation on, look at smartphone, they are not looking at email. They are looking at the Bible. But a lot of times, if we are controlled by the smartphone, right? Even during the time the youth text each other, and even during the time they serve in the way. Once you go through the smartphone, connected to the world, even you physically you are in the church, our heart will not be there. We cannot be filled by the Holy Spirit. So if we bring the smartphone to the church, unless it's related to the church work, or unless it's some time which already finished the service, right? Unless it's very extremely necessary. Otherwise, it will be better you use the smartphone after the Sabbath all finish. So the emptiness of your heart, that God fulfill our heart. Once God fulfill our heart, then we can become a vessel filled with the power of God. No. So this kind of awareness of being a vessel is very important. Very important. We use the smartphone wisely. It really gives us a lot of convenience. It really helps us a lot. But if we are controlled by it, it will slow our spiritual progress, even hinder our spiritual pursuit, because we will lose the emptiness of our heart. So this is number six, the earthen vessel. How does the earthen vessel manifest the power of the treasure? If we read 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Anybody read it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7.
Only have this treasure in your human vessels, not excellence, but power will be of God, and not this.
Chapter 4, verse 7. Verse 8.
In your heart, pressed on every side, you're not touched. We have prepared the way is there.
We are hard pressed in every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Right? This is so-called the power of God manifest in the earthen vessel. Right? Even Paul, right? A vessel filled by the power of God. He was stoned, almost died. But some people dragged him outside the town and thought he was dead. But what? Because the power of God was with him. He survived. And he got up and continued to preach the gospel. A lot of very difficult situation, even though he was perplexed. How can we overcome the difficulty? But eventually, he found out, God was the one who worked everything out. And had very good conclusion of the matter. This is all because the power of God manifests in the earthen vessel. So we have 2 minutes. Any question, reflection so far? To number six, earthen vessel. So spiritual cultivation, sometimes we just quiet ourselves down and read the Bible and pray at home. But spiritual cultivation, sometimes we can improve ourselves in the time of servitude. Because in the time of servitude, if we have to interact with other people, at that moment we know in some area we have to improve. When we start to serve God, when we deal with some matters, at that time we know there are some area we have to improve. So spiritual cultivation sometimes is just in a very quiet moment, and sometimes is not in a quiet moment, in the time of servitude. Okay, let's pray, Silas. Amen. We have 2 more to finish next session.